A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
It refers to criminal trespass, which I think the point here is you cannot be criminally trespassed off of your own property.
So I will give the 406, which is justification for defense of a third person. I'm not going to give justification in defense of premises. It requires that there be a criminal trespass. I think it's confusing to the jury also if there's an argument that's made that he committed a criminal trespass because he was on the lease, he had authority to be there, and he was, even if he didn't have authority to be there, he was invited in to get his son.
In lieu of that, Your Honor, then we would ask to add 418. 4.19, defense of residential structure.
Record on 4.11, which is use of force in crime prevention.
Sorry, I was looking at 418 that defense just raised. Let me go back to 411. Trying to find 411, but my search is not.
I'm going to hop back to 418. 418 is not applicable. 418 applies to home invasion type situations, and it talks about threatening or using deadly physical force. If the person against whom the physical force is threatened or used is in the process of unlawfully or forcefully entering or having unlawfully or forcefully entered a residential structure or occupied vehicle. So there's no indication that Charles forcefully entered the house. So I'm not inclined to give 418. Does the defense want to be heard further on that?
No, Your Honor.
And then was there another, you said after 418?
I just said 418 and 419. I guess that's the presumption of that.
So 419. That's applied to the residential structure. So that one wouldn't be applicable if 418 is not applicable.
Okay.
So I'm not going to give 419. Did the state look at 411 yet?
Just found it, sorry. Your Honor, I think probably given Carson and the allegations that the victim used a bat, we would have to give that as well as then the instruction for the crime that they are indicating they believe Charles was committing, as is required per the.
Right. So You agree that 411 needs to be given? So that's my reading as well. So I will give 411. Just so we're clear, I'm removing 404 self-defense justification. I'm adding in 405 self-defense justification, deadly physical force. I'm going to add in 406 defense of a third person. I'm going to add in 411 crime prevention. Okay, I think that brings us to the definitions. I removed deadly weapon. I think I had it in there initially because I thought it was in the justification statute, but closer read, it's not. So in the definitions that I have right now, I have intentionally with the intent to, and then intent may be inferred. Then I have knowingly, willfully, knew. And if the state is required to prove the defendant acted knowingly, that requirement is satisfied if the state proved the defendant acted intentionally. Then the next paragraph, a defendant is criminally accountable for the conduct of another if the defendant is an accomplice of such other person in the commission of the offense, including any offense, and the rest of that paragraph. Any objection to those from the state?
No, Your Honor.
From the defense?
No, Your Honor.
And then here is where I've inserted the traditional definition of accomplice, because I deleted the completed act definition of accomplice. So this says, accomplice means a person who, with the intent to promote or facilitate the commission of the offense, does any of the following. One, solicits or commands another person to commit the offense. Or two, aids, counsels, agrees to aid, or attempts to aid another person in planning or committing the offense. Or three, provides means or opportunity to another person to commit the offense. Any objection to that from the state?
No, Your Honor.
From the defense?
No, Your Honor.
Then I have a few more definitions: act, conduct, physical force, and a definition of deadly physical force. Any objection to those from the state?
You said something else I don't see in here, so sorry. Act was a previous page, sorry.
I kind of did it in alphabetical order, so accomplice went in, then act. So act, conduct, physical force, deadly physical force.
No objection.
From the defense?
No objection.
While we're in the definition section, I'm going to have to look at when we're adding crime prevention and defense of a third party, whether there's any additional language in there that would require additional definitions. But other than that, are there any other definitions the state's requesting that I didn't include?
Other than, obviously, the state hasn't looked at either of those, either new instructions requested by the defense to see if there's additional information. So I would have to look at that prior to approving these.
Okay. But other than that, you don't have any that come to mind?
Not off the top of my head, Your Honor.
All right. How about from the defendant?
No, Your Honor.
So then the rest of this is pretty standard. It's the jury foreperson and the closing instruction, and then I have a form of verdict. Any corrections, objections to any of those from the state?
Just the form of verdict, changing the one ST as well to first degree.
Okay. There's no... we don't need any interrogatory on dangerous. It's automatic, right?
It would not be automatic,
it's
I don't
not.
Believe so, because it does not require the use of a weapon. So we would actually need to have a penalty phase to
okay,
have that
so
determination.
That would be done in the second phase, if there's a second phase?
Correct.
Okay. Let me turn to the defense. Those last, first of all, any other definitions that you think need to be included that I didn't include?
Hold on 1 second. Your Honor, we had missed one that we wanted added was mistake of fact 205. I'm sorry, I didn't want to backtrack.
Oops. The revised jury instructions from 2 years ago don't have a 205.
Sorry, it's 204. I apologize.
Causation, ignorance of fact. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct.
2.0401A. Ignorance or a mistaken belief as to a matter of fact does not relieve a person of criminal liability unless, one, the ignorance or a mistaken belief as to a matter of fact negates the culpable mental state required for a commission of the offense, or two, the ignorance or a mistaken belief as to the matter of fact establishes a defense of justification. So what's the mistake of fact that you think exists?
Your Honor, it's mostly the mistaken of fact that have been presented as evidence in this case, like one shot versus two shot, you were being attacked, you weren't being attacked, things that the state is proposing that I'm denying.
Well, you can deny those and you can argue that, but that's not really what is meant by a mistake of fact. It refers to a misunderstanding of the facts that would somehow negate any criminal liability. In other words, you'd have to be under a false belief about a fact. I think an example might be if someone's breaking into your home and or someone's coming into your home, you thought it was a burglar and you shoot them and it turns out to be your spouse. That might be a mistake of fact. So a dispute as to what the facts are, what the facts mean, wouldn't warrant this instruction unless you have something else.
That was all. That was what I was thinking.
Okay. What I think I'm going to do is I have to go back to my office in the central courthouse. I have to edit this a little bit. I'll add in those instructions. If you guys can wait here, we'll get you a clean copy by noon. Review that copy over the weekend. Make sure there's no other additions, corrections, or mistakes. And then the procedure will be on Monday when the jury comes in. I'm going to ask if the defendant's ready to proceed, and I'm assuming you're going to say that the defense rests. And when that happens, we'll hand out the final instructions, and I'll read the final instructions, and we'll go right into the closing arguments.
Your Honor, then I'd asked defense previously, there are officers who are under subpoena still, that they be released at this point?
That's fine, Your Honor.
All right. And, well, anyone at this point can be released from your subpoenas, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm just trying to decide the best start time. I'm thinking read the instructions at about 11, break for lunch, and go into the openings early at 1, or you can start and have it broken up by lunch.
I would prefer the court's option of reading the instructions, going for an early lunch, and then not having my closing.
All right. I'll have my staff contact the jury and tell them to report at 11. And then we'll still meet here at 10:30, make sure everything is good on the instructions and the defendant's intentions to rest. And then I'll read the instructions before lunch. That may mean we break a few minutes early for lunch, but we'll have them come back at 1 and go into the closing arguments. All right, while we're here, I'm going to call the other case as well, CR 2022-001-242. And the state is here, the defendant's here. I'm going to go ahead and set the official trial date to begin May 30th at 9:30 a.m. Actually, 10 a.m., May 30th at 10 a.m.
Your Honor, are we still meeting, though, the 29th to do strikes?
Yes, I'm going to get to that. I will set a final trial management conference to discuss the remote questionnaire and confirm we're all good to go for the second trial. For May 14 at 10 a.m.,
And, Your Honor, I will say okay for now. Obviously, we don't have the victim here, and we didn't notify him of this hearing. So if that does not work for him, then I will ask to move that.
All right, for now, we're setting the final trial management conference May 14 at 10 a.m. At that time, we'll discuss modifications, if any, to the previous questionnaire. We'll discuss the exact timing of that questionnaire going out, but it'll go out probably May 21st and end sometime on May 26th or 27th, because the 26th is a holiday. And then we will meet on May 29th to go over those responses that the remote questionnaire produces. I'm going to set that for 1 p.m. on May 29th.
Your Honor, I received a notice from the state this morning, actually, about notice of 404B information for that trial. So are we going to set a 404B hearing for that as well? Would that be at the same time, or do you want to do that at a different time?
Let's discuss that on the 14th.
Okay.
I did see that come in as well a couple days ago. So the anticipated schedule for trial, let me confirm with the state. You think the second trial is similar in length to this trial?
I believe so.
So my proposed trial schedule that we talked about is going to be June 2nd, Monday through Friday, June 6th. We'll shore up those hours and where we're going to be physically located, because I don't know if we're going to be in the same courtroom or not. But tentative schedule, June 2nd through 6th, Monday through Friday, June 9th through 13th. Depending on how far we get, I may cancel that Friday the 13th, but I'll let you know at the start of the 9th or the 10th. And then I have to be dark the 16th through the 20th. And if we need June 23rd through 25th, I think that should be enough time. So that's what I'm going to screen through, is those dates for the remote questionnaire.
Not the next June, you said June 23rd through the 26th, but not the 30th through the 3rd?
Yeah, and here's why I'm thinking that is you completed the state's case in this case in eight trial days. And the 2nd through the 12th is already going to be 9 trial days. And then if something goes wrong, we still have the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, so that's going to be 12 trial days. And some of those trial days I can make longer depending on everyone's schedule. We might be able to start earlier.
All right. The state will ask that we screen them through July 3rd. I just think there is always things that happen, and I would much rather have a jury prepared to stay longer and have them end late than have a jury angry at us because we told them that they would be done on the 25th and something happens and they are not done on that date or they're deliberating later. So I would ask they be screened through July 3rd.
That would give us over twice as many trial days as we had in this trial.
We had screened these through the 15th, I thought, of June. So
what's that?
Didn't we screen these jurors through the 15th of June? So
no, May.
May. So we had...
We screened for 6 weeks and we did it in 2.
I understand, but I guess I don't see that as twice as long as this screening.
We had 21 trial days scheduled in this first trial, and you did it in 7.
I had 28 days scheduled in the other one. In any case, that's all I'm asking, Your Honor. You can do as you wish. That's my proposal.
Can confirm it on the May 14th. When we meet at the FTMC, I'm open to it. My hesitation is if we go all the way into the 3rd, I think we're going to run into losing a bunch of jurors who are going to go out of town for 4th of July, and they might be leaving on the 2nd or the 3rd. And I think we're going to lose a lot of jurors just based on that holiday where people go out of town. With that said, the current last day is May 11 on that trial, so is defendant... want to make a record, because I am going to exclude time. I know you object to the exclusion of time.
I object to not having it by May 11th, correct.
You want to...
What?
Do you have anything further than that?
No, just that, yes, that I would like to have my speedy trial by May 11th.
All right. Well, we screened the first trial through May 15th. We can't do you can't do and the state can't do and I can't do two trials at the same time. Additionally, the state indicated they need to make arrangements for out-of-state witnesses to come well in advance of the trial. There's scheduling issues for myself. I'm out part of the week of May 19th. I'm out and coming back early the week of May 26th to do jury selection. Additionally, I guess the delay is of minimal prejudice given the current sentences that you're serving. For all those reasons, the court will exclude time from May 11th. The new last day will be June 30th. All right, let me get these jury instructions an up-to-date draft for everyone. Please stick around. I'll have my staff drop that off, hopefully in the next 15 to 20 minutes. And then, again, when you review those over the weekend, please alert staff through your advisory counsel or your paralegal if there's an issue, because we're going to have those all printed out Monday morning if we don't hear anyone, if we don't hear from anyone by about 10 a.m. Again, we'll ask my staff to contact the jurors and have the jurors report for 11 a.m. on Monday.
And Judge, is the court able to just email those to me, or do you want me to stay here and wait to get a hard copy?
I will email them to you and advisory counsel and the paralegal, but if you want,
I'll wait for a hard copy.
I'll print out a hard copy for the defendant to take with her here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Are you signed up for that? Okay. All right, thank you.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.